Good morning, friends and brethren. So very good to see you. Good to see a number of visitors with us. We're glad you're here. You are an encouragement to us, your presence with us today. You know, as we look around, we can easily see that our young people are growing up right under our eyes. You know, when Sandra and I moved here going on 5 years ago, Caroline Messer wasn't much bigger than Amelia Queen is now. Amelia's just learning to walk. She's proud to show you that. And that's about where Caroline was back in that time. And John Sands wasn't a lot bigger than that when they moved here. That was about that time. And he just started first grade. Time kind of moves along, doesn't it? And Hannah Harrington is now eclipsing Anita in height. And Aiden is about to shoot right past Grandmother Donna. And it seems like it's just happening so fast. These little kids are just moving along and growing. And seeing our children grow up can kind of be a tough dose of reality. It pains us on one hand to see them get big and grow so fast and leave behind toys and interest of early years. But growing is what we want. We want them to grow. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was amazed to see her young son at such a level of maturity at age 12 when he was in the temple and he was there teaching those who are in the temple. And she was amazed. And the text would tell us that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and men in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And I wonder if she ever thought, wow, my son is growing so fast. Just as we have thought about our children, and even as we look among us here at our children here, we are amazed at just how fast they are growing. Watching our children and our grandchildren grow up is a point of amazement. And it's a wonderful experience to have, but at the same time, it's a frightful one too. As adults, we know that there are challenges lurking at every turn, and so many opportunities for Satan to try to direct their thinking and to try to lure them and pull them away from what is right. And so to our young people and to our parents alike, here are just a few thoughts. We have to, at an early age, learn to watch our step. In fact, when you're stepping up in that big yellow school bus, it's one of the first things you see right there on the steps where it says, watch your step. And undoubtedly, it's because many of us have tripped over those steps going in. And so it's a reminder for us that we have to be careful where we walk and what we do. And because a misstep can cause a lot of problems. A misstep can cause a lot of troubles. And some of those troubles can go with us for a long time. But physical missteps are not really our greatest concern. Choosing to walk in the way of the Lord will be a constant challenge for all of us, all of our lives. Starting back to school will bring some new experiences. Learning new things can always be exciting. It can be enlightening. It's fun to learn new things. Now, there are some this year who are going to a new school or who have a new teacher, and every year brings with it new experiences. And though it can be scary for us to see these new things in front of us, there may be some wonderful things that happen from the new experiences that we have. But we cannot let new experiences change us from the people that we need to be. And what we need to be is a people, young or old, that are concerned and focused on things of God. And what I mean is that new experiences cannot be allowed to draw us away from the godly character that our parents are trying to instill in us. And though many of our friends may not be concerned about this aspect of life, we need to demonstrate a good attitude all of the time. Not just a good attitude, but a godly attitude. That's the attitude that we need to have and to demonstrate to others. A godly attitude is demonstrated by one's perspective or one's outlook on life. A couple of passages to look at. Ephesians chapter 4. Would you look with me? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. in this passage, the apostle has been trying to help the Christians see, look, there is a way of life that we don't want to carry on, that we don't want it to be a part of us, walking in the futility of our mind, having understanding that is darkened, alienated from God. This is what we don't want to be. But in verse 24, what he says, put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Here is the character we want. Here is the kind of attitude we want to have, putting an attitude of righteousness and holiness into our outlook, into our life. This has to be our focus. But where does that come from? Well, in contrast to walking in the world, as we just talked about, and being separated from God, it means learning to be like Christ. In verse 20, he says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. There will always be, it seems, two courses of life. We can live for Satan or we can live for God. We can learn things of the Word, or we can learn things that draw us to Christ, which would be. And some of these are choices that we need to learn to make even when we are small. Because as we get older, it will become more and more important for us to be able to discern, for us to be able to see which course of life we need to live. And if we are living as God wants us to live, with a Christ-like character, new experiences in life can be great and handled with grace. That is, that we can learn and enjoy new things without being drawn away from the Lord. Our good character is to stand fast in the Lord. Philippians chapter 1. Look with me now. Philippians chapter 1. The apostle says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Have you ever been told to take a stand? That sometimes in certain situations, circumstances of life, you just have to take a stand. And again, even when we're small, when we're young, we have to learn that lesson. It's like what the apostle is saying here, basically, is that we have to learn to take a stand, whether young or old. We need to take a stand for Christ. That there is a standard that has been set. It's a standard that comes from God. And it can be seen in our conduct. If we are living by that standard that God has given us, you know, our friends will see that. You know that they will see something different in us. And we will stand out to them. And so we have to learn to stand fast in the Lord, to be ready and to live by what He wants us to do. And so watch your step. Watch your step and don't let new experiences draw you away from the Lord. The Lord wants us to stand close to Him. Well, starting back to school will also bring new friends. It can be pretty exciting to know that we're going to meet new friends and we're going to have new friends. And our lives would be awfully dull and boring if we didn't have friends to help us through. It's friends that will help us on days when we're down, who will pick us up and make us laugh. And hopefully we can do the same thing for them when they're having a rough day, when things don't go well, and we are there to be their friend and to help them with those days. Good friends will brighten our day and help us along the way as we grow. And we will have rough days where we really need our friends. It's hard on those rough days sometimes if we don't have friends to pick us up. There's a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that I've always thought was interesting. So many applications, young or old, can be made. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, a friend can help him up. So much truth in that, isn't there? I mean, we can see how that works. Life would be hard without good friends. But now we need to choose our friends carefully because our friends will have an influence on us. And what that means is that they can change us. Our friends can change us. But they might change us for good or they could change us for bad. And so having the right friends becomes very important for us. Choosing good friends is a challenge. It's hard to find those of like mind. And that doesn't matter if we're young or if we're old. It's hard to find good friends, those who have the same interests, those who have the same values, those who care about God, who have values that help us draw closer to God. To choose friends who have different values will have an impact on us, an impact that might not be good. And sometimes we think, no, my friends can't make me do bad, or my friends are not going to draw me away from God, but they can. Our friends can have a bad influence on us. Sometimes parents will tell their children, you have to be careful with your friends, or I'm not sure about this friend you have. There's a concern there. And it's not because our parents don't want us to have friends. It's just that they might see trouble in some of our friends. There's nothing more sad or tragic than being moved away from God, being drawn away from God because our friends have influenced us and pulled us away. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Such a familiar passage, but one in such few words that says so much. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Be careful. I mean, God is telling us to be careful about our friends. Watch out for those who would try to change our values, those who would draw us away from godly ideas. A good friend, a true friend will not try to pull us away from God. So watch your step. Watch your step when making new friends and only choose those who will not pull you away from God. New opportunities help our light to shine. Let's think for a moment about the influence that we can have on others. We thought a little bit about how others might influence us, but let's turn it around. How might we influence others? We may have many new experiences this year. We might meet a lot of new friends. But what effect can we have on them? I hope that we will shine as a bright light. I hope that we stand out in the crowd, not in a bad way. I mean, now look, we all know some who stand out in the crowd, but it's because they make trouble and because they're always in trouble, because they're doing things that they shouldn't. We don't want to stand out that way, but we want to stand out in a way that shines as a bright light. And people will see what we do. And teachers will see that we're trying to be good and respectful. And our friends will notice that we act differently than most do. That we have principles that we stand by, people will see the difference. If we live as children of God, we will stand out. We will be different. Back to the book of Philippians again. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What is it that makes us different? Well, if we are different in shining as lights in the world, it's because we are living by God's plan. We are living by what God says to us. If we live like children of God, we will stand out as being different. Most of us know that song, This Little Light of Mine. If you don't know it, just talk to one of the small children, they'll sing it to you. This Little Light of Mine. It's a song that I almost thought that we're going to sing that this morning. But I was afraid I'd mess it up. Because it's just as applicable to those who are older as to our children. If we could have them lead it for us, we'd be just fine, probably. The song is a beautiful song in what it tells us, what it teaches. We're trying to tell our children, be a light in the world, and don't put that light under a bushel, but let it shine. Sometimes we all need to learn that. And for our children, to know and to understand what an example you can be and how you can be a light in a dark world. And that's what God would want us to be. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says something here that is again, just so simple but so powerful. In Matthew chapter 5, we begin at verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's what I want us to do. All of us. And for our children, for our young people, that's what I want you to do. To be a light in the world, to stand out in such a good way that your friends, your teachers can look at you and see that there's something different here. That you're living by different principles. That you're concerned about what God says. That's what I want people to see in you. And so, a new school year, some things are starting over. It's a time for us to start over. Take the opportunity. Get a hold of the opportunity to let our light shine so that God will be glorified. Now, it's not about us. It's about living in such a way that God will be glorified through us. So watch your step. Watch your step and take advantage of new opportunities. New opportunities that a new year in school will bring to let our light shine. So one of the most important things that we can do for our children is to pray for them. And I know parents have spent many hours praying for children. We all do that for our children, for our grandchildren, for our children in the church family. We all have concerns about issues that are faced, about health, all these things. And the best thing for us to do is to stop and take time to pray for them. And today, we need to do that today. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we come to you today with a special request, a matter of great importance to us. We pray, our Father, that you will help us to take care of our children. We ask, Father, that you will watch over them as they leave home each day. That you will protect them, that you will keep them from the dangers that lurk all around. And especially our Father, we pray that Satan will not be able to get a hold of their hearts. This being the greatest danger we fear. But that teaching them to have a love and respect for your word will have its effect. And will enable them to turn from evil things. We pray, Father, that you give them strength to always do what's right. Our Father, we pray for our children to have godly characters, to stand out in a way that is positive. Help them to shine as lights in a way that will draw attention to you and glorify you. Our Father, we pray for our young children who are just starting to make their way in the world, for those just starting school or in the youngest grades and learning about life outside the home. And we pray, Father, for Caroline and McKenna, for John and for Jonathan, that you'll help them along the way. To learn early the importance of making good friends. And for those a little older, and facing new challenges that comes with their age. We pray that they can keep their innocence as long as they can and not have to deal with grown-up issues. We pray for Aiden and Lydia, for Evelyn. Our Father, we pray for those getting a little bit older, for Hannah, Christopher, for Amber Bailey, Justin Farmer, for Natalie, that as they reach an age where challenges become greater and life choices more difficult, we pray that they will be wise, they'll be careful. We pray for their purity of heart. Our Father, we pray for Christopher Farmer and for Kobe Sands as they begin college and embarking on a new phase of life where godly values will be challenged in new and powerful ways. And we pray that they will seek wisdom, wisdom that comes from You, and have a heart to be close to You. Help them to be careful with what they hear in school and measure things that they hear with Your Word. For all of our children and grandchildren, we pray, Father, for them to find happiness in life and to know many good and joyful experiences. We pray that they'll be blessed with good health and physical strength. Most of all, we pray that they will have humble hearts, that they'll have submissive spirits, and a willingness to listen and learn from Your Word and to have a heart to accept it and to obey it. And help us, Father, as parents and grandparents, as a family of Christians who love and care for each other, to show our love and affection to our children here in this place, to help us be good examples in faith, effective teachers, lights in a dark world that our young people can turn to for comfort, for strength, for godly counsel. We ask and we pray, Father, for strength. For strength in faith, for forgiveness of sins. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Pray often. We have many to pray for. God sent His Son to earth and offered His Son as a sacrifice to cover our sins. There could be no greater sacrifice, and there could have been no other sacrifice that could have provided us that means of forgiveness. His blood was shed as a means of forgiveness of sins for us. It's God's plan to save us if we will obey. There are some today who need to obey the gospel. We are praying. Humble hearts will be moved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation that we have in Him. That there will be more who will render obedience, becoming baptized believers, disciples in Jesus. And if, as a Christian, if we've stumbled along the way, we've met difficulties along the way, and our faith has been challenged, as it always will, and if we've fallen down, we have to get back up. And if you repent of your sins, confess them, pray forgiveness, That blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us. Is there any today who need to respond? Would you come as we stand and sing?